Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Rob Friedman, pitching ninja, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 to talk about what's going on with our Astros and Brent Strom specifically. Rob, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, we appreciate you
being
here.
We're doing good now.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, much better.
Let's talk about Brent. I'm convinced that Brent Strom is one of the most important people in the Astros organization. I've been saying this for actually started months ago. And what is he doing? What is he doing different than the other guys? Or what is he doing so much better than the other guys are doing around Major League Baseball?
You know, I would 100% agree with you. I know Brent, and he is not only a great guy, a great baseball guy and a lifer, but he's also one of those guys who constantly challenges himself to get better. So a lot of guys that are, you know, that pitched in the game sit there and they just rest on their laurels. He's always looking for an edge. Not only is he great with pitchers from a mental standpoint, keeping them locked in and knowing how each pitcher ticks, but he's also good at teaching pitching mechanics, so making sure people are getting the most out of what they do, as well as everything related to pitch grips and the new stuff with spin access and tilt and all that stuff. So he is fantastic, and you could not be more right.
You know, I think it's pretty – we live in an era where we think of this old guy can't even work a microwave, you know, where the older people are really – behind on technology, or that you see older coaches who are considered red-ass coaches, and don't tell me about the numbers, tell me about gut. What does your gut tell you? And right, it's the eyeball test. And yet Strom is one of those guys who is a perfect match and a perfect fit with the Astros analytics department, and it doesn't look like that would be the case from an optic standpoint.
He is as old school as they get personality-wise, and kind of a crusty old vet combined with somebody who has a growth mentality, which is probably the best of all combinations. You can be really, really smart and good with technology and the new analytics and everything, but not good at communicating it. Or you could be really good at communicating and not good with the new stuff, and he combines both, which is a dangerous combination for anybody opposing the Astros.
Rob Friedman, pitching ninja here on ESPN 97.5. What I love is they're showing Cole, and he's got his arm slot, and he's got the release point, and it's the same exact spot that his slider's coming from, that his four-seam is coming from, his knuckle curve, whatever is coming from. And how, as a hitter, how can you possibly – is that not perfection when you're be able to do that? And I know that Strom had to have a bunch to do with that. Yet when he's out there and able to do that, how in the heck do you know what's coming if you're a hitter?
Brent Strom has taught that for a long, long time, and probably before most pitching coaches picked up on that, because it used to be they would say, well, just pick up the spin. Well, you're not picking up much of spin when a ball's coming at you 100 miles an hour or 90 mile an hour slider. You're basically guessing. So what hitters are doing now is, unless you, number one, they're looking for somebody tipping their pitches. If you can know what's coming before they throw it, it's a lot easier. But number two, the reason why folks are trying to hit the ball out every time is because they're guessing, and they're trying to hit. They're looking for a fastball that they can drive and taking a fastball swing. And if you make everything look like a fastball, you're at a big advantage. And the Astros pitchers, specifically Cole, are really good at doing that.
I think one of the more fascinating things, we're visiting with Rob Friedman right now. You can follow him at Pitching Ninja on Twitter. Lance McCullers, there's a lot of pitchers that follow you and that consult with you. But one of the things that's most interesting to me is that for years it was always about picking at both sides of the plate and pairing a fastball where you hit him in on the hands and then you go away with the dead fish change or you sink it low in the zone and get them to chase and beat the ball into the ground. It's really amazing, the high fastball and then changing the eye level to go high to low, taking advantage of the upper and lower part of the strike zone with that curveball, the renaissance of the curveball. Can you talk about when that movement really took off and how that's become so much more important in going vertically and horizontally with the plate?
Yeah, a lot of it is to combat launch angle. There's always a cat and mouse game between the hitter and the pitcher. And as hitters were trying to really drive the ball out as opposed to just putting the ball in play, their swing is slightly up. And if you can get above that swing with a fastball, it makes it a little less effective to swing up. Just imagine trying to swing up on a high fastball, number one, even catching up to a high fastball is pretty tough. But number two, a high fastball matches perfectly with a curveball, because if you think of the way a perfect 12-6 curveball goes, it kind of starts out high and then ends up dropping off a cliff. Well, if you can match that with a high fastball, then the hitter's at a real disadvantage. So people have just looked at it from an analytics standpoint, examined the game, as opposed to going with your gut and saying, oh, yeah, just get them to put it in play weekly. Well, putting it in play weekly sounds real good, and a lot of that ends up being luck. But what isn't luck is making people swing and miss. And if you can make someone swing and miss at a ball, you're at a big advantage. So that's why you see a lot of power pitchers with really filthy stuff. And hitters swinging out of their shoes when they see something that looks like a ball they can drive.
Rob Friedman here.
Different game.
At Pitching Ninja with us on ESPN 97.5. Any logical explanation for Verlander in the regular season and every other postseason other than the World Series because of how little, not only little success, but zero success he's had in the World Series?
Yeah, you know, I don't think that there is any particular thing. I think, you know, the regular season's a much bigger sample set, and he's obviously a great pitcher. It's just a string of bad games as far as I can see, and sometimes, you know, just little breaks. And a little break here or there can really skew your stats and really screw a game up for you. So in the postseason, every little thing matters, and it's just tough. I mean, it's really tough for the guys that nibble a lot. You see, it's more a power pitcher game than a nibbler game during the postseason. Regular season, you can get by because people are throwing away at bats. No one's throwing away at bats in the postseason. So, it's hitters paying more attention, more people studying what he's doing, and just some bad luck, I think.
I would also think that it just makes sense that for a team who is so locked in on spin rate, who is so locked in on, you know, changing the eye levels of the hitter and everything that they do from a pitching standpoint, that's got to bleed over into the hitting standpoint in terms of combating those same things.
It does, and that's an excellent point. If you see guys like Bregman, one of the smartest hitters out there, but they have a whole system of whether the pitcher they're facing has a high spin rate and how to maybe swing a couple balls above the ball. They map out the opposing pitcher. They pick up tendencies. You can watch them just pick apart a pitcher, trying to see if they're tipping their pitches. It's a pack mentality on the Astros from a hitting standpoint and from a pitching standpoint. And it's one reason why they're so successful is they feed off each other. And someone like Bregman is really kind of the leader of that.
Pack mentality, that's great. And that plays right into something A.J. Hinch has really been talking about, is passing the torch to the next hitter. And that's a great way of looking at it, where you don't swing, you're not selfish, you get on base and let the next guy have his shot. Or in the Astros' case, we've really seen this in the postseason, the cameras have caught it. They are actively discussing what's going on with pitchers, especially, as you mentioned, Bregman, who appears to be the best at picking up potential tips.
He's amazing. If you also saw Strom caught James tipping during the game and actually went over and fixed it. You know, you don't have to, it's not a one-way street. You can pick apart your own pitchers and try to figure out what their tells are and then go about fixing it. I heard something from Cole last night where he was talking about, we did this, we did that, and he was asked the question, why do you keep saying we when it's, you know, you were the one pitching? He's like, no, I pick up stuff from the hitters during the game. They'll tell me, you know, what they see. I pick up something from Springer in the outfield. He'll tell me kind of what he's seeing. Our hitting coach is telling me stuff. So it's really a team effort, and not only the catcher, but also people that are maybe not even in the game that are picking up stuff on swings and how to approach opposing hitters.
Rob Friedman here on ESPN 97.5, the Pitching Ninja. Before we go, Will Harris has been amazing all season long, and to come in the way he did. And it's got to be so difficult because he'll hump it up at 90, 91, maybe 92, after Cole's in there 98, 99, and Verlander's up around 97. You would think that hitters would feast or love Will Harris coming in, yet he's still getting outs. How's he doing it?
His fastball cuts a ton. So it's basically, it's a cutter at 91, 90. It's nasty. And his curveball is I had a slow-mo shot of it up on my Twitter account. And his curveball is also filthy. So the combination of those two, you can get it done without throwing, you know, 100 miles an hour if you have really good movement and deception, and he's really, really good at it. And he has stood out to me as someone who I didn't probably cover as much during the regular season, but he's a stud.
He has been. He certainly has been. Well, that's Rob Friedman at Pitching Ninja right here on ESPN 97.5 and Flat Ground, right?
Yeah, Rob, Pitching Ninja and Flat Ground app.
Talk just for a quick second about Flat Ground app and how high schoolers can get involved with that.
Absolutely. So about a year ago, I started Flat Ground to basically let people post videos for free to get seen by colleges and pro scouts. Because I realized, I mean, my kid just went through the whole recruiting process, and while I could afford it, a lot of people couldn't. And I wanted to help the game grow because I think baseball just shouldn't be a rich kid's sport in the U.S., and I would rather see people succeed because they're good. So for free, they can post videos, and basically every major college coach follows it, as well as pro guys. I've had well over 10 guys get picked up by major league organizations from Flat Ground.
That's neat. Flat Ground app. You got a kid that's pitching, put him on there and see if he can't get found as well. Hey, absolutely. We appreciate it, Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, there's Rob Friedman at Pitching Ninja right here on ESPN 97.5.